This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Still 57 degrees out there. I don't see any rain yet. Parts of the sun are still peeking out, but we expect that big rain coming on later on this afternoon. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. This is the final hour. Phone lines are open, 884-9910. This isn't me. I'm not this serious. I like to have a lot of fun, but I do have to finally get into the news in Nevada. A bit of politics, the protesters, everything like that. Like I said, this isn't me. I like to enjoy myself and laugh, but this is a news talk station. Got to follow the format. So let me start with this. Did you hear about the Republican National Committee and the Nevada Republican Party filing a lawsuit to prevent Nevada from counting ballots that are received after Election Day? Yes, ballots that come in after Election Day. This was a law that the Democrats pushed through 3 years ago. Sisolak signed it, of course, allowing ballots that come in up to 4 days after Election Day. Mail-in ballots receive 3 days. Mail-in ballots that are received 3 days after Election Day that even have unreadable or no postmark can be counted. Yeah, that's what the law says. That violates, right off, I can tell you, that violates the U.S. Constitution's requirement that there be a single day for Election Day. But Nevada and 18 other states can count ballots received after Election Day. That literally holds voting open after Election Day. The Democrats say it ensures those who cast ballots by mail have more time to make up their minds. What? Republicans say it slows election results, undermines trust in the system, and leads to fraud. Well, also, you know what? You can have people influenced by the voting results. They may not bother to vote if the first returns on TV shows their candidate is losing on that election day. RNC Chairman Michael Whatley says, quote, "Nevada's ballot receipt deadline clearly violates federal law and undermines election integrity in the state. Ballots received days after Election Day should not be counted." Okay, that's a to-the-point, non-emotional, sincere statement of concern. Well, so here's the statement from Democrat Secretary of State Francisco Aguilar. Check this out. He says, "Our office will not comment on ongoing litigation." You can, but you won't. "I hope the RNC is putting as much time and energy into educating voters on how to participate in elections as they put into suing the state of Nevada." As snarky as all get out. I mean, it's unprofessional. You know, I could just picture the gleeful laughter as they put that together in his office. Not a mature response, Mr. Aguilar. And the statement by Nevada Democrat Party Director Hillary Barrett blames Donald Trump, of course, for this new lawsuit. Okay, but this is serious stuff. And we heard about this new law when the Democrats were in full power in this state where they had the legislature, they had the governor. This new law hasn't been practiced yet in a presidential election. It's about to be, you know. And you know what? The Democrats will likely win this suit. Will we ever recover from this and all the soft-on-crime bills that Sisolak signed? This allowing 4 days after Election Day for ballots to come in is yet another example of Nevada Democrats basically adopting California laws. California allows mail-in ballots to be received 3 days after Election Day. I think we should be more like our other neighbor on the other side, Utah, where mail-in ballots must be postmarked by the day before Election Day. That's how you do it. Trump trial, I don't have much to say. We know this is Biden's Department of Justice, but as I said last Saturday, I just can't comprehend how a defendant in a criminal proceeding in the United States can be punished by the government for speaking about the case against him. How can our understanding of jurisprudence or of the First Amendment allow that? How does the judge get away with doing it? What's scary is if it happened to Trump, it can happen to anyone, that you cannot say anything about you as a defendant about your case. Protests. Well, the latest now on the League of Extraordinary Anti-Semites, the scarf-wearing people on college campuses. It's amazing. The campuses are full of Palestinians. I mean, where did all these white suburban college students get all these Muslim scarves and headwear? Who provided all that? I saw one protester on TV. I think it was UCLA. And she's going, she's saying, "We're not leaving and we need water and food." Like they're in Gaza themselves, right? She says, "We need food." Well, you got a meal plan. Why don't you just go in and get a bite to eat? Honestly, and I don't want to tick people off, but brown shirts and boots would actually be more fitting with these protests for what they really represent. I mean, is this the 1930s and history repeating itself? We remember October 7th, this generation of students who get their news from TikTok. Yes, this is where it started, I believe. Good Lord, we got swastikas scrawled in spray paint on granite at UCLA. We had some nasty things scrawled at UNLV in Vegas. And I bet Omar and the rest of her Democrat squad of senators, they love that. You know, that's their paradise. Their goal and China's goal is dividing America through TikTok. Why doesn't our media call the protesters what they are? They're anti-Israel agitators, anti-Semite instigators. No, really, that's what they are. They're not victimized Palestinians, or as ABC and CBS called them, pro-Palestinian protesters. If I was still on the morning TV news, I'd be using agitators and instigators. It has been violent, because that's what you are when you block Jewish students from coming on campus, breaking windows and otherwise destroying property. The media does the same wordplay, I don't know if you noticed, with abortion. They don't say pro-life advocates anymore. Instead, it's negative, anti-abortion activists. You know, for their side, the side the media supports, it's pro-choice. The other side is negative. But anyway, the instigators or agitators, whichever they may be, protesting is not about changing hearts and minds. It's really about validating your opinion by forcing others to accept it, especially in the age of social media, where a post can affect millions while a sign, maybe a few hundred. What's my solution for what's going on at the college campuses? College agitators convicted of illegal conduct should lose all federal education aid, to include grants and loans. And those who are here on student visas should be sent back to their home countries immediately. That is so obvious what should be done, and it's so sad that it hasn't even been considered, much less happened yet. And it won't until Biden and Harris and Schumer are deported. But anyway, back to the media. There were only two stories this week. There was another that lasted for one evening of newscasts on Tuesday. The incredible destruction from 183 tornadoes that tore up the central U.S. There were tornado warnings screeching for 23 million Americans in their path. And to me, that's the biggest story of the week. But the media spent more time on Gaza than us. And where's our government? How did our top officials react to the massive destruction and the huge losses to families in the midsection of our country? No statement from Joe Biden. The White House put out yet another statement out that he was strongly cautioning Netanyahu again. That's like his 20th strongly worded message to Israel. Do people really buy that? You know, do nothing while your staff says you spoke strongly to somebody. He's been speaking strongly to Netanyahu for what, over 2 months now. Nothing happens, but the media keeps buying it. I mean, can you picture him doing anything strongly to a foreign leader? Huh? So anyway, Joe Biden didn't care about the tornadoes. Vice President Harris doesn't either. While towns were torn to shreds in Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas, while they were, trying to accept the enormous damage left behind on Wednesday, Kamala Harris went to Florida for one reason, to attack Florida's abortion law. There's today unbelievable flooding in Texas, Houston, underwater yesterday. But Secretary of State Anthony Blinken went to the Mideast this week, his seventh trip to the Middle East in 6 months. A good, hardworking hero to other countries. And with all the money going to rebuild these places, I'd sure like us to be one of those other countries, too. You know, we spend freely enough to put us in record-breaking debt and without the cash and gas reserves to depend on when disaster hits this country, which takes me to another top story ignored by the media. And I'll keep banging the drum over this: inflation, higher prices. Bad signs again this week. Gas prices in Nevada went up again from an average $4.45 a month ago to $4.53 today, according to Gas Buddy. The cheapest gas in Reno, aside from Costco and Sam's Club, is now $4.75. A lot of gas stations in town over $5. And I know President Biden tells us the economy's great, we're doing wonderful, it's the best it's ever been. The reality, you know, is different. This week, the Federal Reserve said it's not going to change its policy for interest rates for now, because inflation is two things. It's high and it's sustained. And those are not good words. We don't want inflation to be high. And if it is high, you don't want it to be a sustained thing where it doesn't go down. Inflation's hanging in the 3% range. And you say, oh, that's a lot better than 8%, John. Well, the 3, that's the latest increase. This is 3 on top of that 8 on top of whatever else we had since then. 2% is the historic range for inflation in a healthy economy. We are not there. And the network story I saw this week, the reporter said, this inflation, this is described as a possible threat to the Biden reelection effort. As if that was the impact, like the worst part of this was Biden having a harder time getting reelected. That is not the consequential impact. It's you and I having a hard time affording things for our families for the third year in a row, right? Biden's 3 years as president for the third year in a row, according to Gallup. Americans said their most significant economic challenge arises from inflation, higher prices. I don't know about your finances, but I know what they are at our home. I'm not complaining. I'm forever grateful and blessed, and I'm thankful for the work I can get. But the impact of my paycheck and the prices for my family, the lives that we're allowed to live from a financial standpoint, is dramatically diminished over just the last 2 years because of, the fact that I was let go without any severance whatsoever after 20 years at Channel 2, and we're adjusting to that. Okay, we can do it. These things happen, you know, but it's really higher costs on everything. And just yesterday, we got our Reno sewer bill. It's $171. We pay that every 3 months. You bet that went up. Our needs stayed the same, but our spending power is dramatically diminished over the last 3 years of this horrific inflation. We haven't increased demand. We haven't increased our needs. What's changed is the price of things because of economic malfeasance on the part of the current presidential administration. And there's nothing special or unique about my family, which means I bet it's the same with yours. And of all the things that are going on out there, the one thing we hope is the government doesn't impoverish us, right? It sure felt like they were on April 16th, I'll tell you, tax day. Must you impoverish us through the inflationary nature of your failed policies? And we say failed because we gracefully assume it's not done on purpose, but I'll be honest with you, as they seem ever more inclined to use this society that we pay into to bail out other people in other countries and the millions that have streamed across the border, it's hard for me to look at these as accidents. You know what I'm saying? But all I know is the dollars are not going as far as they went, and the bills are not getting paid like they used to be paid. It's just nuts. I miss the pre-Biden days when we had one of the greatest economies anybody has ever seen. Our country's national security meant something. Our borders meant something. We had 1% inflation, 3.5% unemployment, no endless wars around the world. We have the greatest tax cut we've seen in history, crime at a minimum, the border gradually getting closed, fentanyl not coming across the border. And now we're funding wars across the globe. We're experiencing a dark downturn in our economy. Education levels are dropping. Healthcare overburdened. We have no idea who has come in here in the past 3 years. We're at a greater risk for a terrorist attack. Crime is up. Nevada is now ranked second highest per capita in the nation for trafficking. We used to protect the country we love and live in. Those were good days. I'm way over. It's 11:23. I'm sorry about that. Craig, you got to say stop. Pull this car over.
Do you not see your phone screener thing that in red says brake time?
Oh, I'm sorry. I need my glasses. You're talking to an old guy here. Okay, I'm sorry about this. Break time, folks. I'll be back in a few minutes. By the way, if you have something to say about all that, 884-9910 will put you on the air. I'd like to hear from you. 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:23.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk, 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News. Talk truth.
11:27 our time. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday 9 to noon right here. And I've been told that Jerry Evans has made an appearance in the Carson City studio and wants to talk, which tells me, oh my gosh, what did I say now?
No, does he have an axe to grind again? You know, I do. You were talking about your cell phone earlier today, and I'm sure everybody's experienced this, although I don't know what kind of service you're with. I'm with Spectrum, but I know people that are with the worst company in the world, the evil company, AT&T, or Verizon. I don't know about, I know one guy at T-Mobile, and that really is, you can't get out in the remote areas at all and get any kind of service. But have you noticed how many places there are dropouts now or there's no cell service at all? I'll name them right now. It's like when you hop on 580 South at Plum, no cell service. Then you go just a little ways, again, no cell service. Also, when you get down near Meadowood, no cell service. And then it's okay. And, of course, there's always the dropout there on the big bridge when you're going south. North end of Washoe Valley. Drops out. I've actually dropped calls there before. Keep going south. And now in Carson City, where there wasn't before, toward Highway 50, where Spooner comes down, it's really bad in there. Heading home to Gardnerville, in the middle of the Carson Valley, two spots where I've had them drop. Or, you know, would you repeat that? You were dropping out a lot. Of course, in front of the high school, right there at the 88 and 395 Y in Minden, no service, and it's just gotten worse and worse. How about you and your phone?
You know what's really stunning of all places, and I can't remember if it's downtown Sparks or downtown Reno. I can't get service in the downtown. And I'm using Spectrum, which uses Verizon. And of all things, to have the center of your city where you can't get service. Now, I brought this up last Saturday, Jerry. I was in Salt Lake City. And I'll tell you, I hate to gloat and say, oh, we should, they're doing it better than us or something. But I'll tell you, that city offers free Wi-Fi throughout downtown Salt Lake City. I think that's wonderful. I would love to see that here. But I haven't noticed any more. If anything, you'd think they'd improve service in some of the pockets outside of our cities.
Well, and it's not just pockets. It's gotten worse because it. How about the main thoroughfare, north and south in Reno? You can't even carry on a conversation, or you may actually get dropped. A lot of times it's like Henry calls me a lot on the way home or something, and it's got you got to repeat everything you just think you said to me in the last 10 or 15 seconds, except for the swear words. And it's just horrible. And it's gotten worse and worse. And there are more and more dead spots that seem to have popped up lately.
I have not heard that. And that's alarming. That's really odd. That's strange.
Yeah, getting worse and worse. And I've got Spectrum too. Real quickly, I got to scoot out the door and head to a mountaintop. But politically, a lot of people email me like I might have an opinion. I have an opinion, but in terms of who to vote for in the upcoming primary, there is an election that's only about, 40 days away. And, when I get past saying we're screwed, it doesn't matter who we elect. Yeah, especially, I don't know if you heard and saw what happened yesterday with Mike Johnson, the speaker, is now sharing power with the Democrats, something that Trent Lott did years and years ago and cost him his seat and cost the Republicans. The Republicans are just, one person told me, that Democrats will stab you in the chest, Republicans will stab you in the back. Just vote for the most conservative candidate that in the primary that there is out there. Maybe one of these days, maybe, just maybe, we'll replace some of these, whether you call them rhinos or they're just part of the Uniparty now. And get rid of a few of them. What scares me, too, is Lombardo scares me. If we were to get a Republican majority in the Assembly and Senate, I think they'd go right back to doing what they did when Bernie Sandoval was governor and just go Democrat heavy, like they passed all the tax increases and everything. And Lombardo scares the crap out of me when it comes to Second Amendment and firearms. He was favor of the universal, you see air quotes, universal background check.
Yeah, I've heard that before. And let me ask you this. I know it's early, but we have what, like 10 Republicans lining up to take on Jackie Rosen in the upcoming Nevada U.S. Senate race. Have you picked a favorite in this?
There are three people in the race. This Gunter guy has kind of popped up, didn't know much.
Dr. Gunter.
Dr. Gunter. You guys had him on the air just a couple of weeks ago. I know Sam Brown. Personally, his younger brother replaced my son in Afghanistan when he got leukemia.
Really?
And then Tony Grady is a great guy. I'm a very non-establishment voter. So you can read into that whatever you want. I do know that if the RNC backs you, then that's probably somebody that I'm not going to vote for. So just, that's a race. And then we've got Fred Simon running against Mark Amaday. And again, everybody puts out these qualifiers of he's a nice guy, but, and I'm speaking of Mark Amaday, is just look at the voting record. Do your own homework. And
I'm glad you brought that up because I got something on the voting record for these Democrats and Republicans in Nevada.
Is there any difference?
Well, listen on the way to your trip there.
Right.
You might like it. You might not. So.
Well, I'm always like to be informed, so you can inform me of what I may or may not know. But
I'm like you. I'm independent. I don't follow lines either. So we'll find common ground.
The only thing I could say is once we get past the primary and you do get to the general, no ifs, ands, or buts. Word of God, do not vote for anybody with a D after their name. Goodbye. Period. I'll see you next week.
All right.
See ya.
Take care, Jerry. All right, sir. Sometimes predictable, sometimes not. There he is. I'm John Potter. Be back after Fox News break here. 884-9910, our number, and 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1134.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth, truth.
John Potter, live and local. I lost my reading glasses again, and if I don't find them around here, I'm a dead man. I cannot look at my notes at all. So we're going to go to the phone. By the way, if you want to call in, all the lines are filled. So just wait a few minutes and call a little bit later after we talk to, well, let's start with Michael calling from Reno. Politics. Oh, boy. I hate politics. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning, or almost good afternoon.
Yes,
so I wanted to put in my two cents worth here on what I think the grand scheme for Democrats and these progressives, what their plans really actually are. You know, we've got all this anti-American, intifada, pro-Hamas, fever pitch going around right now. And I actually believe that the Democrats' plan is to burn the whole thing down and completely wipe out everything, you know, resulting in as much chaos as possible, so that at whatever point they think it's been burned down enough that they can come back and take over everything and throw away our Constitution and throw away everything, because everything is chaos. And it's just like, you know, the plan is we need to start all over again. That first plan didn't work. And, you know, that stupid Constitution, that has all the things that are just holding back, you know, humankind and all this whatever. And they want to bring back a completely brand new, you know, Constitution and rules and laws that are just the whole Marxist socialist, you know, plan.
And,
you know,
basically,
I often... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that you, I agree with that. I see that a lot. But what's really horrifying to me, because I'm a big reader of Reddit and Nextdoor.com and Twitter and all those, the comments
right.
that people make, suddenly we're having a lot of young people making comments about, oh, this is late stage capitalism. You voted for it. This is capitalism. You know, anything that they're mad about, it's capitalism's fault. And then you have the young people writing things like "Murica, Murica," like they're mocking our country.
Well, you know,
this kind of stuff would be unheard of when I was a young person,
right.
knocking our own country like that, showing such disdain for the greatest government in the world. Not
right.
All the time.
Right. But their whole point is they know that they can't change the laws because it requires too much, you know, voting through Congress and convention of states and all this other stuff that to get, you know, all these constitutional amendments changed or abolished. So they know they can't get that done. So what they want to do is just burn it down and start all over. So, you know, I when I've talked with many friends before, I've told them, I said, you look at civil wars that have happened all across the world throughout humanity and time. And I would say a lot of times people don't realize that the civil war has actually already started long before people, you know, actually realize it's upon them. You know, it's the thing where you have a frog in a boiling pot of water, or a frog in a, you know, warm pot of water, and you heat it up and boil it.
You know,
people just don't realize what's going on.
Yeah, if you were gone for 20 years and came back and saw all this, thank God my dad is not around to see this. He would be just horrified with the lack of respect toward what our forefathers and all our soldiers died for, to see it being trashed like this by a certain party and by a certain generation. Thank you, Michael. Got to move on.
All right.
Let's go to Bob calling in Sparks. Hey, Bob, I'm glad you called.
Yes. Good morning, John. First of all, I agree 100% with your previous caller. Second of all, I agree with you. I hate politics, too. However, I'm very involved in it because I feel like I have to be. And the reason I'm calling is I was at an AMAC meeting about 3 years ago down in Carson, and Mark Almaday was the speaker. And I asked him a question, and he talked for about 5 minutes, and then he moved on. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, he never answered my question.
Did you stand up and repeat it?
No, I did not.
Okay, next time, because you do that. You do that, Bob.
Maybe I will. I'll be a little smarter the next time around.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I mean.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bit of patronizing going on. Thank you. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you, Bob. I got to move on. A lot of calls coming in. Pete is calling up about the economy. Pete, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, John. But I want to tell you, first of all, your stories that you talk about, you were concerned a couple of weeks ago, I guess, about, you know, whether people are interested in it. You do a fantastic job, and keep it up, because I love those little stories. And you think you're going on too long about them, but no, they're great. Okay.
I appreciate that, my friend. Thank you very much, Pete.
Okay. What I wanted to say is that I've been around a while, and Craig is great. And hello to Jerry there. Tell him I forgot to tell him that I'm from Cushing, Maine, you know, and he's when it was in Augusta, and we'll talk again soon. But anyhow, last night I was listening to Coast with George Norrie, and they had this producer of Laughing named George Slatter.
Yes, George Slatter,
He spent 2 hours slamming Trump. And please, I have to contain myself because I've got so much to say. Someday I'm going to have to sit down and talk with you guys because I don't want to take up a whole lot of time, you know, here on the radio. But, you know, Biden has basically almost destroyed this country, and I can't believe, you know, that they use their emotions for their facts. When I have 2-3 pages of things I've been following all along, you know, about how things have gone south when we have the best economy in the world ever with Trump. And even Jimmy Thaler said, you know, he is not a decent man. And this guy, George Slatter, said he was. Cut me off any time. But, you know, I've just been so wound up with all the facts that really I think are the truth. Me being a veteran, and I grew up in the coast of Maine, and my cousin started the Subway Sandwich Corporation, and my aunt was chief copywriter of Life magazine, and I'm a boat captain, and we're not stupid. So.
And we all did so great with this country and America letting us be what we are capable of being. Thanks, Pete. And by the way, I have fond memories of Maine myself, Bangor. Have a great day. Let's go to Joe. Joe calling from Sparks. By the way, that George Slatter sounds like another De Niro. Hey, Joe, what's new? I'm glad you called.
I just wanted to talk about, first of all, diversity. This country is famous for diversity. We've had a black president, we've had an orange president, and now we have a senile president. How diverse can you get? I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to be Trump's ex-attorney and be on the witness stand, because if they scare him and he tells the truth, no matter what he says, he could say it, you know, he could say something nice about Trump, or he could say something bad about Trump. But no matter which way he goes, the other side is going to yell that he's perjured himself. I don't know why that guy would even get close to a courtroom.
Well, it's amazing. I'll say it for the third time. It amazes me a defendant isn't allowed to say anything while he's being persecuted.
Oh, Trump, yeah, that's true, too. You know, you were talking about that. They were asking you or talking to you about little stories and stuff. I think they whisper stuff into Biden's ear in hopes that he tells some stories that are so bad that people say, you know, he can't serve as president. And the excuse they'll have is he was, because of Trump, he's had this terrible, terrible presidency. And that's the reason that they're going to have to let him go and throw somebody else in there.
Well, I like how the media pulls Biden in front of the camera, and he's obviously saying, here's an example. You probably didn't see it, the correspondents' dinner. the correspondence dinner, Biden had all these great stories that they weren't great, but jokes and things like that. And the media treats it like, oh, Joe Biden came up with this and that. And you know, it was all written for him. All of it was written for him. He had nothing to do with it. He's reading the prompter. But what even is more aggravating is to see the crowd of so-called journalists, reporters who cover politics, all screaming laughter over the positive jokes for Biden and the slamming of Trump. What does that tell you when all the reporters there are just,
you know what,
obviously... Yeah, they don't hide it anymore. Yes, go ahead.
Here's a serious story out of Idaho. I've hunted most of the states out here west, and I've been lucky enough to do that. Out of Idaho, I guess there's a large area that's been bought up by the Chinese. They have set up a firing range, and there's been an average of 20 to 25 just came across the border, I guess, these guys from China. And they're soldier age, they're young guys, and they take target practice there every day. That place is open for target practice. I mean,
well, you got to hand it to China. I mean, years ago, I saw them going into Africa, building roads in Africa out of the goodness of their hearts. No, they're trying to get a relationship going with these countries in Africa and benefit each other. And you know what China's doing right now? They're building a bunch of coal-fired plants in China.
Sure.
To feed
Why not? We should
their
have
booming
here.
Economy. And here we are sitting like saps, closing things like that down that could be productive. I got to go. I'm being
told.
The
only thing I heard good about that story about the Chinese is that those young guys won't use any guns made in China.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Well, now they're building airplanes. That's a big threat to them because that's one industry that the U.S. has been leading the world for just about ever, and now we're getting Chinese jets being built. They're smart. They're smart. We used to be, too. All right, I'm John Potter. Going to take a break, 884-9910 for one final segment on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1151.
Live, local, FM Talk. KKFT for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Live and local every Saturday 9 to noon. We closed down the phone lines, so we do have time for just Tyler here calling in from Reno. And by the way, folks, if you try to call in now, call next Saturday. I'll be honored to talk to you then. Hey, Tyler, glad you called.
Yeah, John, I thought I could sneak in with an alias, but yeah, I was just listening to Coast to Coast the other night, and I didn't agree with some of that, too. And I just wanted to say, if you love your country, you got to love its citizens. And we're just all so divided, you know. And I come from a military family, and I moved here to Reno to be back closer to my relatives who came to this country with nothing and worked the mines as miners. And, you know, they're buried out in the desert. And, you know, the conservative values is if you love your country, you got to love its citizens and live and let live, you know. And it's just everybody else out there in the world is dividing us. And if America could just come together right now and be a country united, you know, all these other countries wouldn't walk all over us, because I just look out there in the world and it just seems like nobody out there in the world has any respect for us anymore. And all of us don't have any respect for one another either. And that's why I don't watch Channel 2 anymore, you know.
You know, people still ask me what happened at Channel 2. I'll be honest with you. After 20 years, I couldn't work there after what they said to me. What did they say?
Yeah.
They said your last day is this Wednesday. So
it's not easy being an American citizen. I mean, I moved back here to Nevada where my my great grandparents were, and the family courts just walked all over me, you know. And I took my beatings here just like my grandparents had to did when they fought for this country in Korea and World War II. And
okay.
You know, we got to be better people here. That's all I can say.
I love your words, man. You got to, you know, despise some of the opinions out there, but love the people. We're Americans. We can't hate Americans. Thank you so much,
If you love your country, you got to love your citizens. Yep.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Take care. Actually, the Channel 2 manager broke it to me gently. He said, we don't allow visitors in the newsroom. But what happened there isn't exclusive to me. It's a real dilemma for a lot of people, especially my age. And if you're going through it, or you potentially could go through it, I had a college professor who was very smart who said in our business class, don't fall in love with your company. Just keep your head down. Don't participate in gossip. Be very loyal and work very, very hard. But don't fall in love with your company because it won't love you back. Now, Jerry, that doesn't apply to you on this fine radio station. Craig, thank you so much for running the show. You must have four arms there in Carson City. Very busy morning. Thank you, sir.
Not a problem, John. That's what I'm here for.
Go watch a scary movie or something. Dress up in your Darth Vader outfit because it's this is the fourth day or something. Have yourself, folks, a great Kentucky Derby time. TV coverage is going on right now, and I'll talk to you next Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Have a great weekend.